For KOSU, I'm Michael Cross, and it's time for This Week in Oklahoma Politics, along with Republican political consultant Neva Hill and ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel. First off, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
To you, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since we last talked in 2017, the Equalization Board met to talk about the budget. The meeting is usually a chance for the governor to get an idea of how much money to allocate for an executive budget unveiled at the State of the State address. But finance officials say they can't even give a final number because lawmakers still haven't balanced the budget for the fiscal year ending in 5 months. Ryan, your take on this situation?
It's like the report was like the shrug shoulders emoji.
So what's
we don't know. I think that we kind of expected this, and we walked in without a lot of resolution from either special session. We have, you know, the regular session passed measures that were deemed unconstitutional, or at least one that was deemed unconstitutional and cost hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. We have hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue that have been used as one-time cash for the current fiscal year budget. So there's a lot of unknowns walking into this. I think that the real takeaway from the report was that the revenue picture for the state of Oklahoma, given the current revenue raising mechanisms that we were relying upon to raise taxes, bring money in so that we can pay for the services that the people depend upon, that those are not going to meet the demand. You know, we don't have a revenue plan in place that's going to give us the money that we need to provide these services for the people of Oklahoma. And there's no real clear way out of that in the near future. That's what I took away from this.
Neva.
Well, that's true. But when you look at just dollars, I mean, let's look at what was actually being talked about. I mean, the governor has a $6.9 billion figure to build her budget off of. To bring before the legislature, and that is up from the six billion last year. So, I mean, we're seeing an improvement in the overall revenue picture in the state, and I think that the prospects only grow brighter in terms of some of what we've seen, not only from legislation that was passed that brought more money in from legacy wells, things like that, that clearly have helped the situation, but Ryan is right to this extent that as lawmakers return, they have to really grapple with the same age-old problem that we've talked about now year in and year out, and that is not so much the dollars allocated, even when they certify that number in February, but what they're going to do in terms of managing these agencies and the growth of the agencies, the need for more revenue that they're saying is necessary to maintain the programs that people want to see. So I think we've got this mixed up situation where no one's coming forward still with a plan. I mean, we're not hearing anything from the governor's office, from the legislature, from any place that indicates that there is a plan on how to move forward with this. So it's really, it's an unfortunate situation that the Equalization Board doesn't provide any light to.
In any plan, I think, has to account for a couple of different things. One is that a lot of any increased revenue that we're seeing coming in is already spoken for. A lot of these agencies over the last 10 years have seen double-digit percentage cuts to their budgets already. So, you know, they're already languishing. So increased revenue doesn't mean that we go back to normal. It means that we can go back to, you know, some substandard normal. And then the other thing that I think that any plan needs to contemplate is that even though we did pass, you know, some, you know, very, very modest measures to increase gross production taxes in the state of Oklahoma this last special session, what we're really looking at is over $300 million, close to $400 million a year being left on the table by keeping the gross production tax below the historic average of 7%. And if the legislature doesn't do that this session, I think that there's a good chance that a group that's just been formed up by a couple of folks from the oil and gas industry that would put this measure before the voters in November and give them an opportunity to vote to increase that up and then target that increased revenue to education in the state of Oklahoma.
And I think the question is that clearly in the mix? Will WIN be in the mix? I mean, there are a lot of different entities out there that clearly afford an opportunity to capture more revenue in whatever fashion they style that. So I think that's going to be the real question for the legislature is it going to pick one versus the other? Are they going to put them all on the table like we've talked about before and do something that is more sweeping and overarching and more dramatic? And that's the conversation that in my mind still remains to be seen.
And overall, they have an re-election bid.
Yeah, election year.
So it could be interesting. The State Health Department announces even more cuts and layoffs in the coming fiscal year. The embattled agency is considering cuts to include releasing nearly 200 people and possibly ending grants to support child abuse prevention programs and health centers. These cuts are nearly twice as much as the legislature demanded. Neva, your thoughts on this news?
Well, I think it's one of these situations where now the corrective action plan is out there, and now the rub is how do they really sort through that? And have they kind of swung the meat axe to try to get everybody's attention and get everybody back to the table and be more serious? I mean, they've got a mess. They've got ongoing investigations that are extremely serious. I mean, not only from the federal standpoint, but from a grand jury standpoint here in Oklahoma. And I think that just beginning to get down into the kind of the real inner workings of that agency and figure out what's going on. I mean, that's really where I think these folks that have come in are really challenged. There's a lot of institutional knowledge that's gone out the door, good, bad, or indifferent, and now they're trying to figure out and sort through and really figure out what has happened with this money. And the bottom line from all indications is you have a situation where it was the composite effect of people knew that there was no financial management going on. I mean, when they say they hadn't even had what would be considered normal financial reports in months, if not longer, it was a situation where people, they figured the money would be there, they'd spend it how they wanted to spend it, and there was no accountability. And now for the legislature to come in and say somehow they're going to micromanage an agency and determine to make sure, quote, they spend the money properly, that's a mess too. So I think what they've got to find is get people in place and then get a plan that they can actually formulate that's going to take months, if not years, to really see some good results from.
Ryan.
It'll be interesting as these investigations move forward, if we ever do get to have a real sense of what the leaders within the health department were thinking whenever they were doing or not were not doing the things that they were supposed to be doing in terms of operating this agency. You know, my speculation, and this is just pure speculation, is that, you know, like many agency leaders over the last decade plus in the state of Oklahoma, they haven't had the resources they've needed to meet the mission that the legislature has given them. And so what you've seen are people that are well-intentioned, but have been trying to put together programs on scotch tape. Really what they should have been doing is, you know, scream from the mountaintop, we can't do what you're asking us to do with the limited funds that you're giving us. I think that they tried to pretend that they were able to do that and that it eventually caught up with them. You know, good intention or not, what they did was absolutely wrong, and I'm looking forward to seeing what these investigations bring out. The other thing that I would say is that I think Neva's right. The proposed cuts here probably aren't intended to say, legislature, please do all of these things. Please make all of these cuts. It is to get everybody's attention. The legislature needs to begin to set priorities. My hope is that legislators now begin to meet with employees at the health department, the folks that are actually implementing these programs on the ground, and get a sense of what the priorities are and how they can best save them in this legislative session.
But the other element to this is when you look at some of the things that they were talking about in terms of savings ideas, they are things that should have been talked about long ago. I mean, if you have rented office space in Oklahoma City that's not needed, get rid of it. If you have duplication of divisions that can be consolidated under one director with a cost savings, do that. I mean, if you talk about having surplus inventory and you can reduce that. I mean, many of these things, setting up the information technology system to reduce really a lot of duplication and make it much more easy for folks to do permit licensing or whatever needs to happen with the agency. I mean, those are efficiencies that should have been talked about and brought up long before they got to this mess. And so I think it really sends a signal to all directors of all agencies across the state of Oklahoma that this is a new day and we're not in something that's unusual just for Oklahoma. I read a report over the holiday that said 71-72% of all Americans believe that their state is in a worse budget mess this year than they were last year. I mean, states are in a crisis just like the federal government's in a crisis, and you don't just keep talking about it. You start getting down just like a private business would have to do, and you make the tough decisions so that you can actually manage your way out of the situation.
But selling surplus computers, getting rid of office space, those are all, I mean, I think every agency should look at those things. You know, can we get rid of some of this stuff? Do we actually need this? The big ticket items here are employees, though. That's where the real savings come from. You know, the millions of dollars, the 10 plus million dollar figure that you're looking at is coming from laying off employees and eliminating programs. You know, so some of the smaller ticket items, yeah, let's look at those, but it's certainly not going to dig us out of the hole. And if we just walk forward with this plan even eliminating some of the low ticket savings items, we're still going to be in a huge hole of the health department, and there's going to be either a lack of revenue to cover it, or we're going to see a loss of programs.
The Oklahoma Sheriff's Association is subject to open records, open meetings laws. Attorney General Mike Hunter says the private organization must make its meetings and certain records open to the public. Ryan, I'm guessing you and the ACLU are applauding this opinion.
We're working on an open records request as we record this. It makes perfect sense. I mean, if you think about what if the Attorney General had come to an opposite conclusion, what it would have allowed would have allowed for any government body in the state of Oklahoma, county commissioners, county sheriffs, whatever that is, if they wanted to avoid an open records request or avoid an open meetings law, all they had to do was to go start a private nonprofit organization and then funnel the business that they wanted to hide from the public through that private.
And there are many out there right now.
That's right. Yeah. And so they could have done that, and they could have shielded themselves. Now, this Open Records and Open Meetings Act opinion from the Attorney General, it doesn't open the door entirely. I think that there are still some unanswered questions. You know, does a county sheriff simply get does the Sheriff's Association open its door simply by accepting fees from county sheriffs that are paid by county funds? Does that do it? Or is it the participation in this probably illegal program where they've been bilking millions of dollars away from low-income and indigent Oklahomans in the criminal justice system and through fines and fees by creating a for-profit criminal justice system and profiting off of the criminal justice system rather than administering the justice that we've actually seen. One of the things that's going to be interesting in this open records request is not only have the sheriffs been engaging in this for-profit enterprise, which is troubling in and of itself, but we're hoping as the ACLU of Oklahoma to begin to uncover what political role they've actually played in undermining criminal justice reform efforts at the state capitol and at the ballot box.
We've talked about it many times, Neva, about criminal justice reform, so this could be a pretty big deal.
Absolutely, and I think Ryan is absolutely correct, and the Attorney General should be applauded for his action. I mean, this was in response to a legislator asking for the opinion. They very quickly came forward with that, which is refreshing. I think seeing these things and seeing the transparency and the openness, which everyone, I think, arguably, there's just no argument to not have that in government right now. And I think that the more that we can see and the more that associations, whether this group, the Sheriff's Association, or any association like this, bucks up and says that they want to basically go to war and not comply or find some other end around to try to do what they want to do behind the veil, is not going to, it's just not going to pass muster with the public. And I think there is a great higher level of scrutiny going on that needs to continue. So I applaud Attorney General Hunter and hope that we see more of this in the future.
Attorney General Hunter, Representative Bobby Cleveland out of Slaughterville. So you had a Republican legislator and a Republican Attorney General going after an association that's dominated by Republicans, or at least plays into the Republican ideology around criminal justice reform for the large part, not entirely, but for the large part, at least leadership in the House for sure. Mm-hmm. This is an instance of the system working where the Attorney General and a representative, you know, looked beyond, you know, party leadership, and they did the right thing here. So kudos to them.
Standing on the Attorney General. He says Oklahomans should pay less on their utility bills.
It's almost like it's an election year.
Yeah. Well, doesn't matter as long as he's doing the things that make sense.
I was surprised by this, but he says the Oklahoma Corporation Commission should reduce the rates because the companies which provide electricity and gas will benefit from the federal tax cut enacted at the end of the year. Neva, this seems like it would be a huge bonus to Oklahomans who voted overwhelmingly for President Trump.
Well, I think that when you look at what Attorney General Hunter is saying and what he's taken to the Corporation Commission is basically if necessary, force these five utilities to lower the rates that would reflect their lower, you know, their lower tax burden after the tax plan that Congress passed and the president signed last month. So I think that being very proactive right up front, rolling out quickly and kind of setting the stage for this to be part of the discussion is important. And certainly for the consumers, it bodes very well. And I think When we look at this, I mean, granted, these utility companies are saying that they're still sorting through the maze of trying to figure out how all of the ramifications of all of this, but the long and the short of it is it should happen. And again, I mean, we're kind of in the applaud the Attorney General mode here on our first show of 2018, but these are things that are noteworthy and I think do deserve accolades on the part of the public for the actions that his office is taking.
Right.
You know, what a great mail piece for the Attorney General. I mean, if you walk into the election year and the Attorney General, one of the roles of the Attorney General is to be an advocate on behalf of the people of Oklahoma and their role as consumers. And here they are, you know, consumers of a monopolized utility. And he's stepping up to the plate and saying, no, you need to give this back to the people of Oklahoma and not only give back what you're going to save, but give back what you speculated on saving through they've been taking in money right now and setting it in reserve. So give that back as well. And, you know, that is a huge boon to the Attorney General, I think, to the ratepayers of the of Oklahoma. I think that it will muddy the narrative around the tax bill. I think it will be portrayed as yet another victory, another success of the tax bill. But in reality, the people of Oklahoma, if you look in whatever they're going to save in rates from their utility providers, their electric utility providers, balanced against what's going to happen in this spring when the Republican Congress begins to cut into entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We've already seen, you know, essentially the elimination of the Children's Health Insurance Program, which benefits thousands of children in the state of Oklahoma, you know, billions and loss in funding for federally qualified health centers across the country, but right here in Oklahoma as well. We're going to see, on balance, the people of Oklahoma are going to be worse off as a result of this tax bill. This is going to be another feather on the scale saying, look, this is good for Oklahoma, it's good for America. But in total, I would ask Oklahomans to weigh whatever they save against what they're losing.
It's a new year, but before we can look ahead, I want to ask each of you about the past year and what you thought was the biggest news story of 2017. Ryan, let's start with you.
You know, I think in Oklahoma, it's the real failure, the paralysis that we're seeing at the state legislature. As a state story, it doesn't get bigger than that. I mean, we watched in some of the most dramatic moments that I've ever witnessed at the legislature, both in the regular session and then in the subsequent special sessions, the drama is real palpable because real people's lives are at stake. I think, you know, nationally, globally, the largest story, of course, is the inauguration of President Donald Trump and the subsequent year of incompetence and instability that's resulted in the consequences that we're facing both as Oklahomans and as Americans as a result of his presidency. That is by and large the largest story of the year. But here in Oklahoma, it's the paralysis of the legislature and the lack of any sort of plan moving forward that's going to get us out of the state that we're currently in.
Neva?
I agree completely. I think when we have absolute budget gridlock, we have a legislature that cannot even fathom the idea of bipartisanship in any measure. You have leadership across the board unwilling to work together, even within their own parties, makes it an untenable situation. And hopefully, with the backdrop, as we just mentioned, of the 2018 elections coming up, maybe we see some progress in that area, but I'm not hopeful. I think we're going to have to see both nationally and in Oklahoma, the 2018 elections are going to be somewhat of a watershed moment, I think, again, in terms of changing the political landscape. The public is uncertain. They're agitated. They don't like what they see. They don't particularly have an idea or a notion of what that looks like to fix it. But I think they're becoming very tired of the sloganeering and the unwillingness of people to really step up and advance a plan. Even if people didn't agree with the plan, at least see some progress. So I think it's been disappointing. And certainly from a Republican perspective, I think it's our moment now to step up and have people have the political courage to do what in many instances they know is necessary and right and just have held back and not been willing to do it to this point.
And certainly I'll ask you both about 2018.
Predictions.
Next week. Predictions. Or just what your thoughts are. It's going to be the biggest news story. Let's say, besides just elections, which is probably going to be the biggest story of 2018. So we will see you next week. Thank you so much. Ryan and Eva's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.